that was the podcast truck backing up.
Okay, you're listening to it's been a while.
Lulu's Son.
Lulu's Son Out Loud, The Chronicles of a Mad Asian. Thank you, Data Daddy.
Coming in with all the important facts.
We're going to talk about what is the definition of marriage. Can you believe that we're kicking off season four?
No, that's crazy. We've been doing this for a long time.
No.
If you look back at season one, who thought we'd be here three years later?
I didn't. I thought we'd run out of topics and be bored with each other as well.
I thought one of us would be in jail by now.
Congratulations, Thruple. We continue surprising.
That's right. Hashtag Thruple.
That's right. Thriving. Thruple thriving.
Thriving Thruple.
Well, we've had multiple tidbits throughout every season, you know, talking about what a definition of marriage means. But everyone obviously has a different definition. But, you know, I think the biggest point that I think about is everyone puts a lot of pressure on themselves to be perfect. What is a perfect marriage? There is no perfect.
Of course not.
No. And if there seems to be, it's lies.
And one of them is probably going to be featured in a Netflix documentary about murder in just a couple years.
And that's why we need to get into Netflix. Or Hulu. Hulu's coming up.
No, perfect marriage? A perfect marriage? That's an oxymoron.
Well, I think it's perfect for the couple, right? Like, I will tell you, and we've talked about this before, my dad and my stepmom have the most dysfunctional marriage ever, but somehow it works for them, right? So I guess it's perfect for the two of them.
I'm trying to remember. Is it Spicy's mom? It would be your mom that's had like multiple marriages, right? Oh, it just goes around.
Family Bush.
You better up your game.
Well,
shouldn't you be on like three by now?
I know. I do. Yes. I have surpassed my mom's first two marriages, the tenure of them.
Agent J must be bringing something different to the table.
Yeah. Well, it's perfect.
Oh, God. See, that means it's small.
Wait, what's small?
When someone says it's perfect, it's small.
You're talking about the penis?
What are you talking about?
Oh,
I was talking about the marriage.
Oh.
Jesus, get your mind out of the gutter.
Four seasons. By season eight, I'll have this thing down.
Okay, well, we're going to go back because Meatball Wright, she has been accused of being a swinger, which it's not even coincidence. It's like by miracle. When I check the stats, Swingers is now our number one podcast.
Oh, I think that's a vote of confidence from our listeners. Yes. Nice. Thank you. And can I tell you on that point, I went to dinner with a group of girlfriends this week to celebrate somebody's birthday. And one of them showed up with a very belated birthday present for me. But you want to know what it was?
Huh?
It was a pineapple hair clip and a pineapple sponge to wash your dishes. I was like, okay, you're funny.
I thought you were going to say a sponge to wash your vagina.
A vaginal sponge?
Yes, because you never know. What's that smiley sponge that Daddy
the sponge
loves?
Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody sponge knows daddy. This. And no. Now they've even spun off into Sponge Mommy and all sorts of other products.
Does Sponge Mommy have boobs?
I think it's just pink.
How do you put boobs on a sponge, though, when it's round and like...
I mean...
Well, maybe it just has more nubbins the eye holes. For scrubbing.
I think it's possible.
We should be sponge designers.
Maybe.
So... Have you worn this hair clip yet? Because there are two ways to wear a pineapple hair clip. Everyone knows that.
Please do elaborate. Yeah.
Tell us.
Well, the normal way is probably your default. But then the swinger preferred way, I think you got to flip that bad boy upside down.
Okay, true.
Touche. Well played, Harry. I have not broken out the pineapple hair clip yet.
You know, just
in one way or the other.
Next time you go get the mail and you get a neighbor outside, see if they're paying attention.
Well, okay, we're going to jump into something totally like way 360 here. But definition of marriage, what do you think about arranged marriages still in this day?
I think that's so fascinating. Harry, you go first, because I have all kinds of thoughts. What do you have to say?
I was actually thinking we should discuss why it's not more common and prevalent today. Because let's take a step back.
Okay.
Right? Marriage certainly did not used to be about love and finding someone who is great to spend your time with, right? It was, I have a farm and a daughter, and I need someone to continue my legacy on. Mm-hmm. So even when they weren't arranged, there were more business transactions around marriage than we consider today. Like, I have asked my Miss Reed as a joke, like, What's the dowry from your father? especially after chicken. We've been together 13 years.
Just one chicken. That's all you're worth.
Yeah.
That's a cheap marriage.
And really, he's overpaying as well. But do you factor, or should you factor in what the other partner brings to this?
Well, arranged marriages, though, do they really think about those things? I only say that because obviously I'm Asian, and there have been many arranged marriages in my culture and in my family. So my parents were actually in arranged marriage.
So wait, so are you saying that you don't think in your culture that they take that into account? Because that's always been my understanding of why marriages are arranged.
I think
I'm a little spicy on that.
I think it's getting married, finding the right person who's going to do the right things as a woman, like, and then you pop out these kids who can help contribute to the family.
Interesting. So, okay. So as the parent of a female child, what are you looking for to agree for your daughter to marry somebody?
Well, I'm also very Americanized, so I don't believe in it.
Yeah.
Someone to get this kid out my damn house.
Right? Please.
That's right. And you know what? That is going to be a topic in a future podcast.
Okay.
Because I feel like any parent is going to look for an advantageous arrangement.
Of course. If you look at like TV sitcoms where they've talked about arranged marriages, it's always the mother who goes through so many because none of these men are good enough, even though they're all like doctors and surgeons. Or you're getting through the riffraff until you get to that level. But clearly they're going to be looking at whatever their definition of a 10 out of 10 is.
Yeah. It's very interesting. So I dated a guy from the Middle East for a while, and I really liked this guy. And we had to have a serious conversation because he was like, this is going nowhere because my parents will ultimately pick my bride for me.
Yeah. Wow.
It was crazy. And he ultimately did. After we stopped seeing each other, you know, he was like, this is the time my parents are starting to look for somebody for me. And sure enough, they arranged something. He met this woman and they're married. They have kids. It's yeah.
So you were the crazy white woman that he was like, all right, dad, just pick one. Hey, I'm done. I've played the field.
He was like, let me just have one last taste of the good life before I get married.
That's it. Hasn't made a decision since.
Yeah.
It's the sex though. You know, I've got to experience the sex before you get into all of this.
Yeah.
Oh, are arranged marriages like, oh, well, some people know their bride before the wedding day, but I feel like the surprise ones were a long time ago. Mm. Like, are there in arranged marriages?
They met beforehand. So they brought them together at a family dinner, let them meet each other, and they spent some time together, just the two of them. But it was quick. Wow. I mean, they certainly didn't bone before the wedding. But
I would love to, and I didn't look up statistics on this because I didn't know if we talk about arranged marriages, but I would love to know the success rate, just like longevity, how many of them work out as far as staying together versus traditional marriage.
Don't you think? Because you're marrying for a completely different purpose.
It's not just like, I can't get divorced because it would be embarrassing.
Right.
Do they have the option of separation?
It's also not just I'm staying with you because I love you so desperately. Right. Because we all know there are moments where we don't love our significant others desperately, right? Where you'd like to walk out. And if you've got that added kind of responsibility and...
I kept a separate residence for the first 6 years of our relationship.
Did you really?
Now, granted, I was just paying HOA fees on this, so it was pretty cheap.
Okay, well, that's
but,
nice.
Oh, yeah. The freedom of being able to tell someone to, like, fuck off, I'm going to my place was really nice.
Yeah, I would also... So if you decide to go down this path of of research and digging into some data, please also research what the rate is of infidelity.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about, or we're going to switch topics to complacency. That's when you're complacent, there's infidelity as well sometimes.
Yeah. Complacency. That's an interesting one. I have a friend who, you know, there's like six of us in my core group of girlfriends, and everybody was married except for her. She's incredibly intelligent, very successful, very career minded. And here she was at, you know, I don't know, I guess it was mid-30s and she hadn't met anybody yet. So she settled for this guy who is clearly, as you can probably already tell, not my favorite. And so they've been married for coming up on 6 years now, and it's complacency is the name of the game. Mm. Like, she's just doing it because she can check the box that she's married and she doesn't have to tell people that she messed up.
She realizes this now.
I think since they got married, there's been maybe two conversations we've had where she didn't mention divorce.
Man, but that's so rough.
Yeah.
Don't you question, though, is when you get married, there's got to be some level of love.
Probably.
And then you become complacent.
The novelty wears off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Are we speaking about this the same way that women will be like, oh God, I can't wait to get married. I never have to blow him or have sex again. I can't wait to just live in sweatpants.
As much as I used to. And I don't know if that's complacency, age, or if my neck is just tired.
If it's complacency, shape up. If your neck's tired, there's Advil.
And massages.
If it's complacency, shape up or ship out. And if your neck hurts, I will buy Advil or have it shipped to your house and delivered next day.
You know how I am with natural medicine, and I actually don't take those kinds of pills.
Well, perfect. Oh God, all her herbal remedies are probably much more expensive. You know what? Still
they
worth
are.
It.
They
it's worth it.
Are.
I don't
it's
care.
Expensive to be me.
Well, it would be the best package to have delivered, knowing that it's going to work out for two people.
That's true. It's worth the investment.
One bird, two stones.
That's right.
Two stones, one bird.
So I think, you know, you were saying you still love your husband.
Yes.
As much as you did at the beginning. And I would absolutely agree with that. I still love Agent J as much as I did. But the love has changed.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
It has totally morphed. Different. What do you think, Carrie?
It's so different now.
I think if it doesn't, especially, we're not talking about short-term relationships.
Right.
Remind me how many years?
This will be 15.
Yeah. I mean, everything about you has changed individually.
Yeah.
He's probably completely changed individually, and you're lucky enough to, you know, hopefully change together.
Right.
That's what you're building something together.
I think it becomes, at least from my perspective, is it's a love more rooted in respect.
That's right. It's different. It's very different. I don't even know how to put it in words.
Yeah. I think I see him as more of a full person. I've learned so much about him, and I have so much appreciation for his shortcomings and his huge strengths, right? And like just so much respect for the person that he is as a whole, which, you know, 15 years ago, I was just like, man, this dude is hot. So...
Yeah. But don't you have those friends, though, that talk to you? I mean, I'm going back to complacency might not be the right adjective for this next conversation, but, you know, just staying together for convenience, right?
Right, because it's easier.
It's easier, and it really isn't that bad. You've lived a comfortable life, and you both have a mutual understanding of what this definition of marriage is, and...
But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I have had this conversation with multiple people over the years. I think because my family relationships are just so off the wall that different things work for different people. I'm like, if that's the arrangement that works for you, who's to say it has to be something else? And I feel like I see that especially with couples who, you know, are in their maybe mid-30s, early 40s, mm-hmm. that kind of thing, where they feel like they need to drive this poster child like marriage when the reality is
it doesn't
work for them.
Sure.
You know, and maybe what works is you spending weekdays at, you know, an apartment in the city, and then you come back together for weekends, or like, I don't know.
And you know what? Sometimes you need a break. So I'm okay with that too.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely not a skeleton key for relationships that would fit to every couple in the world.
Yeah.
You know, some people like to not see each other outside of like meals or sleeping. Some people are together 24/7.
Is it strange? I need to say that it's not strange, but go ahead.
Well, so when Spicy was talking about that, I was thinking we kind of blew past a definition, right?
Uh-huh.
And a definition of marriage is a legal union, you know, that started out between a man and a woman, and now in not every state, you know, the laws have changed so much. I don't even know if same-sex marriage is recognized federally, but, you know, between man and woman, whatever the terms mm-hmm. are, just a legal union. And then once religion got involved is where all the love and cherish and all that kind of came from. Is that correct? Not correct? Am I missing?
No, I think that makes sense. But I think when I was thinking about this conversation today, it was like, technically, if we go to Webster and look at the definition of marriage, I think you're on point for sure. But I think about it from a kind of a more pragmatic level, right? Of like, what does a marriage have to be? Does mm-hmm. it have to be a legal union to call it a marriage? Right. I mean, you can call it if it's your commitment that you've made to somebody. To me, I guess it's about the commitment, right? Whether it's legal or otherwise, I think of both of your situations. Mm-hmm. I consider you both to be married, right? Maybe that's
okay.
And see, Mr. 50% Harry. of this two-person group agrees with you and 50% doesn't.
Okay, so do you get, like, I accept that I am, by Texas common law, in a marriage, but at the same time, I do recognize him being my husband, but I also don't want to say that I am technically married either. It's very strange. Is this like a psychological, like, fuck blow? I don't know.
Fuck blow. I like it. Nice terminology. So what's the hang up? Why are you hesitant to refer to it as a marriage?
I have no freaking idea. Because I say it, but when it comes down to it, going to the chapel and we're gonna get married. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think I understand where you're coming from. And as I understand it, my relationship doesn't meet common law rules. Mm-hmm. Because you have to have ingrained finances and other bullet points that we've kept separate. But I treat her as my only partner. There are times where I've referred to her as my wife. I probably started out just to make like social situations less sticky. You know, when someone introduces like, oh, here's Harry and his wife. Like, yeah, sure. But we're not officially married because my sexual kink is paying a higher tax rate.
I
thought that was so good.
Is that seriously?
No.
No, but seriously.
Well, no, I mean, but
I met with my accountant and it's cheaper for us to technically be single than it is to be married.
Really?
Yes. He did the numbers. High level.
Damn.
And that's enough to keep you from making that.
Well, no, her wedding's coming up. I mean,
potentially.
We'll see. It hasn't happened yet.
Yes, that's
for
right.
For me and my situation, I think I've addressed it on the podcast before. Early on, I was definitely pushing for marriage.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, 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 no. This was all Harry Reid driven, and it was never like a formal ask, just a discussion.
Yeah.
And she wasn't really interested. Had been married before. Not interested in me, just in that happening again.
Right.
It's like, okay, well, I'm just kind of done. I'm not going to ask again. I'm just kind of fine with this. Once I said that, the next week she started, and it's been the last 10 years of that.
Holy cow, that's a long time.
When you put it like
that. Are you just digging your heels in and like, no, I'm not giving in,
no,
because
the,
you
the conversation
didn't say
really
yes the first
hasn't
time.
Been addressed since. We've just kind of operated.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. I swore I would never get married.
I
think
swore
I mentioned
that
before. Yeah. And I don't know. I think when I met Agent J, I still was saying that, and we were good 3 years in before I was even like, you know, I could see myself with this guy forever. He's a stand-up guy. He's somebody I want by my side.
It's been a few years. He's still hot.
Dude, he's still hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know.
So the aspects of marriage that I focus on in my relationship, even not being legally married, I defend her. I take care of her. I'm an open ear. Whatever she needs in a partner, I'm there. Like I have her interest in mind more than my own.
You support her.
Yeah.
I'd like to throw that in there because I think of all of the people I know, you support her more than a lot of husbands.
Well, see, that sucks.
Why?
Because I don't think I...
I don't mean support her financially, please, let's be clear. I mean emotionally.
Yeah.
When you talk about her, I love the way you speak about her. Like, you're very supportive of who she is and what she's doing, and I just don't feel like
any of that's extra effort. You know,
but it
sucks that that's not a standard.
We're gonna I couldn't agree more.
I certainly like having that in return.
Yeah.
You know, what's the point of having a partner if they're not there for you when you need them?
Right.
I've had so many people tell me about their different relationships. And, you know, we're going to go into online dating. Coco Puff is single again.
We got to get her back on the podcast.
That's right. Just to give you guys a little sneaky peek, but somebody asked her to throw pee on him.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this story.
Not even just that. It was in an angry, violent manner.
That's right. But you know, that's his definition of marriage, whoever this person is. He wants that kinky shit.
Tell you what.
Man.
I feel like you can't just shower that off. You know, you can go get married in Vegas and be divorced or annulled the next day, but that's going to stick with you for at least a while.
Oh, gosh. I mean, have you ever been scared to just be alone? And maybe that's another component of your definition of marriage.
I love being alone. That's my biggest challenge with being married, is that I love alone time.
I do too. And that's another problem.
Yeah. And I have to remind myself sometimes that I get lonely when I'm single, right? But at the same time, I am absolutely the person who will go have dinner by themselves, take a book, I'll go sit at the bar by myself. I love alone time.
Okay.
Alone time is different than being by yourself. Like, I took that as if you're in a complacent marriage.
Yeah.
But you don't want to be alone, like by yourself, going home to an empty house or something.
So
how'd you mean that, Lulu?
When you want to be alone, is your partner offended that you want to be alone?
No.
No, we've had some really candid conversations, especially, I would say. So we've been together for 15 years. And I would say in the last 4 years, we have had some conversations that have been game changers for me personally, because I've really just had part of it was a reckoning with myself of really realizing what I needed and mm-hmm. that I do need. Mm-hmm. I need that alone time. If my family's in town visiting or if my stepdaughter's over.
Yeah.
I can only do so much, and then I have to extract myself from the situation. So that became an actual conversation of, hey, we've got this coming up. We're going to be having dinner with the family tonight, or people are going to be coming over. I'm going to bow out.
Yeah.
Right. And so he when we had that conversation, once the cards were on the table, it became awesome, because then, like we were just talking about, he became very supportive and understanding mm-hmm. of it. But we had to talk about it, because otherwise he was just like, why are you being a bitch?
Right.
It mm-hmm. also helps that from the examples you just gave, you use your alone time in a non-negative way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because going out and reading a book or having a meal by yourself is kind of nice and mentally refreshing.
Right.
I would say Miss Reed doesn't get mad or anything if I want some alone time, but she's definitely correlated the fact that if I want alone time out of the house, instead of like me going upstairs to play guitar or something like that, I'm probably going to end up sitting at a dive bar, just because even when I want to be alone, even if I don't want conversation, I like that there are people there.
Yeah.
I'm not great on my own like that. I've also tended to be a relationship person the extreme majority of my life.
So when you're in that situation, definition of marriage, right? What does your spouse do when you're having your alone time? Mine watches TV or plays video games.
I think Agent J spends time in the garage. He works on stuff. There's always stuff to work on. A lot of car stuff.
I mean, that's a great hobby to have. Yeah. If not an expensive one, it's definitely something that takes a lot of time. Mr. Reed probably just stays at the house and will either take that time to focus on a project or cuddle the dog a little bit more than she normally would. But I don't think she feels the need to like be alone and get out in the way that I do. I will say that like I've called some of her friends.
Introverted versus extrovert, mm-hmm. which we did have a podcast.
Indeed.
We can do that, yeah.
Sometimes when I've noticed that she kind of needs something and maybe if it's just time away from me, if I know she won't force it, I'll call one of her friends and have them schedule like a pedicure date.
Oh.
And I'll pay for it, or I'll send a bottle of wine or something. But that way it's her getting out and getting to do something that she wouldn't do for herself.
Okay. Hang on.
What?
You schedule these events and then you order a bottle. Like, my husband would never do that shit.
I know. Agent J would never even think about that.
So maybe this is the result of something that happened early on in our relationship. She was going to get a massage and had decided that she didn't want to do it for whatever reason. It was the first time she was going to this masseuse, and I wanted her to not have like anything to carry or worry about. So I'd called the masseuse and paid for the massage and added a tip. And then that's the only reason that she didn't cancel. Then she ended up having like a pretty cool relationship with the masseuse.
Yeah, you mentioned this. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Before. Yeah.
So sometimes you just have to do things and let it be a surprise.
I love that. I think Agent J would absolutely love to do that. He would never think to do that. He's great. If I have friends in town, or, you know, he loves to take care of us. He loves to be the bartender and he'll make us breakfast and sure. He does all kinds of stuff, but he would never think to do things like that. I think that's awesome.
Well, the difference is I'll sleep through breakfast. Lines. You know,
having listened to this episode,
when the family comes in, I'll wake up at 10:30 and I hope there's coffee ready.
Oh my gosh.
So yes, we all have our strengths.
My husband, yes, that is not one thing that my husband does, is have coffee ready for me. But going back to what the definition of marriage
is, he can be replaced by a newfangled coffee pot now. But okay, yes.
Do you get jealous from hearing about your friend's definition of marriage?
No, I definitely have the strongest marriage of my friendship circle, I would say.
I don't think jealousy is the right word.
Is it not? Because sometimes I am jealous.
Are you?
Like, I was in a situation recently where she was waited on hand and foot.
Would you want that? You wouldn't want that. That and would drive
me crazy. She's a driver.
You know, my husband talked about this because he's like, you know what, Lulu? You wouldn't want this. You wouldn't want me
it
to be like this little
bitch. It would drive
you
nuts. It would be great for like a week.
Like, blah, blah,
and then
blah.
You'd be like, get out of my business.
But at the same time, when I come home from work, do I want my happy hour cocktail made? That would be nice.
Well, that's one little thing. So Agent J recently, this is in the last month, has started making my coffee in the mornings. So maybe the one little thing,
that's
it's not
right.
waiting on hand and foot, but maybe that one little thing where they can, like, I don't know.
I would hope that in a marriage, and whether it's like a big thing that you're looking to put together or just a small thing, like I was at the store and picked up some flowers because I thought about you. But
he
like, there's
actually did that recently, which surprised the fuck out of me because that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But continue on.
Well, I mean, what did you feel about that?
I thought it was such a nice gesture and I was taken back. And then I was like, okay, it's my favorite flower. I'm going to lick it.
Well, that, yeah, hey, nice
look
job.
It. Look Very at it.
Nice job, it. Lulu's husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just showing people that they're on your mind or that you are thinking about them. I mean, yeah. At least from the male standpoint, that is on par with like an unexpected quickie. You know?
Okay.
It's nice.
Let's do another 360 here. So we've talked about our definitions of marriage, what we think about potentially of others. But when you hear other arrangements that are just like so out there, right? Like, how do you respond? Do you just sit there and listen to them talking about what their definition is and just say, okay, you know what? You're fucked up. Okay, move on. I mean, we're just here.
Dude, is there an example? Because, like, I'm comfy in my own bubble. Are you talking, like, trad wife type stuff?
I mean, everything. Everything that...
Because what did you say?
Apparently, he said trad wife. Mm-hmm. But apparently, everything that we are talking about, we're not that bad. But when you listen to other people's relationships, and you're like, man, that's really fucked up. How do you stay in that? But that's your definition of marriage.
I mean, to me, I don't know. Generally speaking, and this is kind of in keeping with the way I approach most of life, is I'm curious. I want to hear more. And as long as it's working for you, who am I to say?
Amen.
Shit. You know, there are exceptions where I'm like, well, that is not healthy,
yeah.
right? And like my dad and my stepmom, for example, I'm like, they've been making it work. I think they're at 35 years now.
Oh my God.
Wow. And it is sheer, it's awful for them and for everyone around them. But, you know, I'm like, okay, you're making your decision. I have given you my two cents. And at the end of the day, it's your decision to make. So there are things that I would consider to be less healthy, but for the most part, I'm like, figure out what works for you.
Yeah.
You know,
it feels like that all depends on extenuating circumstances. So if you're like constantly being degraded or demeaned and you're not so far down that low self-esteem rabbit hole, you're probably sticking around because there are some kids involved or you don't want to shame your family. But this isn't a joint relationship. The only two people that matter are the two that signed the contract, right?
And you know, true statement. That it's interesting that you say that. That brought something up for me. So I have this kind of, I call her loosely a friend, somebody I've known for many, many years, and she's been in this relationship for a number of years now. I've got a couple of kiddos, young kiddos.
That's complicated.
But it is so ugly and abusive, and I will say abusive on both sides, because she is emotionally abusive to him. Okay. He is to her, and also maybe some physical abuse. But literally, she has sent me recordings.
Oh my gosh.
Because she will record him when they're having a fight, and he will say things like, I'm going to kill you. And she will send these things to me as so that there is a record of this.
Nope.
Right? And I'm like, but it's the
kids.
That's
their definition of marriage.
I'm like, okay, but see, that's the kind of thing where I'm like, yeah. what are you doing?
At the same time, I'm also intrigued and I want to listen to these things, but it's really fucked up and it's sad.
It's sad. It's very sad. And you know, it's like yelling into a well, right? Like, how many times can you say, what are you doing? And why are you putting up with this? Get away. And my whole thing with it was, is this really the way you want your kids?
That's right.
To what you want them to think is normal.
Sure.
And to strive to achieve.
You know, we're answering this definition of marriage topic as adults.
But thinking, are we?
Well, thinking back to when I was like 10, if you'd asked me this question, my definition of a marriage would have been very different, because
it was
parents putting on like a good social and then pretending, arguing after the kids go to bed or something like that. Right. So there's always drama no matter how you see it.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I mean, closing out. I mean, that's a good
that's very thought-provoking. I'm taking a stroll down memory lane in my mind right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of fake things that happen when parents, you know, project what their definition of marriage is onto their children.
Well, and society.
That's right.
A lot of times. Yeah.
Well, you know what?
In summary, just don't do it.
You know,
kidding,
I haven't done it in over 20 years, so maybe there's something to it.
I don't know.
I guess we've always preached in the three seasons before, you do you. And
if there are any listeners who are interested in an arranged marriage, we would like to be the first podcast to officially sponsor a listener arranged marriage.
And please invite us to your wedding, because I love to crash at your wedding.
I love that, especially if it were an Asian or an Indian arranged marriage. They last for a long time.
God, Asian weddings are so cool. With the bottles of Henny on the table and just everyone's having so much fun.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. Peace
also,
out.
Also, gifts are so easy.
Gifts.
It's just money. Money in a red envelope. Bam. Done.
Love it.
That's right. Okay. Red envelope. Chinese New Year.
Welcome to season 4.
All right.